It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you've joined us on this live edition of the program, and we hope you'll stay tuned as we begin a discussion of God's Word to find out what His will is for us in our lives. My name is Jacob Gwynn, and we're coming to you live from Jennings, Florida tonight on the program. And joining us over the phone in Columbia, Tennessee, my father, Greg Gwynn, is back at home base. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to be hooked up with you. Long distance. Looking forward to the Bible study. Glad we could make the connection, and look forward to ending Thanksgiving Day with an online Bible study.
What a better way to end the day than to end it with a study of God's Word, as we've taken time today, many of us, to think about the blessings that we enjoy on a daily basis from God. What a good time to talk about God and His will for us in our lives. Joining me here in Florida, with me tonight, my father-in-law, Nick Law, is here. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Jacob. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, Nick. And we have Preston Jackson. Hello, Preston.
Hey, Jacob.
And Tyler Dowling is here. Hello, Tyler.
It's good to be doing this again.
Yeah, it's good to be with you all, and glad you've taken time to join us tonight. Well, as we talk about Thanksgiving and we think about a day that's dedicated, many dedicate to being thankful, and we have many things in our country to be thankful for, Nick. You know, if we just stop for just a second, we can think of, you know, numerous things that we enjoy in this country that many in other countries have to go without.
That's correct. We have so many blessings, it's very difficult for us to keep up with them. Our comfortable homes that we enjoy.
It's been a little bit cold in Florida this week, but we haven't been too cold while we've been sleeping and while we've been inside eating. You know, we have a comfortable home. Many people don't have those comforts, you know, in other countries.
That's correct. No, they don't even have a home sometimes.
That's right. And let alone central heat and air. You know, the list goes on and on. Preston, you drove over here tonight in a comfortable automobile. You didn't get your feet dirty. You didn't have to go out and hitch a horse to a wagon or anything. You jumped in.
It didn't break down.
Didn't break down. That's right. So we have all these things. We have all kinds of modern conveniences, Dad. We enjoy so many things in this country. It's amazing that this is the case, but it is the case, and it's the case with many Christians, unfortunately. A lot of times we're just not thankful. We're not grateful for what we enjoy, and we murmur and complain about the blessings that God has given us.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. As you all were mentioning, just so many elements of ease and convenience and comfort and cleanliness. I've thought several times recently about how our ancestors would look upon us and think that we live like royalty. I mean, when you think about hot and cold running water, inside plumbing, microwave ovens. I mean, we've got things that we take for granted that people just not that many years ago would be flabbergasted to know that such a thing even existed. And yet, as you say, with all this ease and convenience, we complain and grumble, and surely it's a sign of ingratitude. It's absolutely illogical for us to be unhappy and to be grumbling and complaining and murmuring when we witness all the things that we have to enjoy, blessings that come to us in just bountiful measure.
You know, Nick, it is easy for us to murmur and complain. We can complain about our houses and about they're not big enough. They're, you know, maybe they need some maintenance and upgrading. We can focus on those things and murmur. It's very easy for us to do that. We've got to be on guard against that temptation to sin in such a way that we would murmur against the blessings that God has given us.
That's correct, Jacob. When we think about what God has blessed us with in our homes and all the many blessings that we enjoy, sometimes we kind of think that we deserve all of this, we don't really think about what these things really mean for us. And as I think about these things, if we don't think about it in that sense, then we won't be thankful. one of the ideas of being thankful is for us to really think.
Right, exactly. And I like what you said there. We don't deserve any of the blessings we enjoy. When we start to think that we deserve them, then it's easy for us to complain and murmur because we think, well, I deserve better than this. I deserve something nicer than what God has given me. And the fact is, we don't. Everything we enjoy is from God, and we're undeserving of those blessings. And so we want to talk about murmuring and complaining on the program tonight. Murmuring is a distasteful act to God. In fact, He has punished people in the past who have murmured about the blessings He's given them. And the matter of fact is, He'll punish us today as well if we murmur against God. So we want to hear from you on the program tonight. What do you think are some things that we are tempted to murmur about the blessings that God has given us? What are some things that we're tempted to murmur about? We'd like to hear from you. 931-381-4567 is the number to call to comment on the program tonight. 931-381-4567. We'd love to hear from you on the phones. We'd also like to get an email from you. Send your emails to questions@collegeview.com. Those are the ways you can participate in the program tonight. What about murmuring? What are some areas that you're tempted to murmur? What are some areas where you see other people murmuring? We'd like to hear from you on the virtual Bible study tonight as we discuss murmuring. The fact of the matter is, Nick, as we look at the scriptures and the instructions about murmuring, that God has commanded us to not murmur.
That's correct. When we think about what the word murmur means, it's the idea of muttering under our breath. And oftentimes, as we look at the blessings that we enjoy in this life, and we think about what we do, and when we, instead of giving the thanks to God as we should, we find ourselves kind of muttering under our breath about it. And that's really what murmuring is, as we speak in low tones, as we look at the definition of the word. And oftentimes, the blessings that we're receiving, we can't think about those because we're thinking about what we think we deserve more than what we have.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Now, Preston, the instructions from God, Philippians chapter 2, has a passage that tells us about the instruction to be careful about murmuring.
Yeah, in Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world."
All right, the instruction there, do all things without murmuring. And Tyler, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, another instruction that forbids us to murmur.
It says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer."
All right, Dad, so there are some instructions from God about murmuring. The instruction's very clear. Don't do it.
Yeah. You know, some people, I suppose, would categorize this as a fairly insignificant thing, but when you read those strong statements from the Word of God, it's clear that God, this is a distasteful thing to God. You know, when you consider, and maybe later in the program, Jay, we'll talk some about the maybe even cataloging and talking about some of the amazing kind of blessings that we have. But when you consider that everything we have, I mean, literally everything we are and everything we have is from God's hand. And then for us to murmur, you can see why that would be distasteful to God. I mean, that'd be like us giving gifts to someone, and then after having showered them with not just one or two gifts, but with thousands, uncountable numbers of gifts, then that person that we've given all the gifts to turns around and complains about it. And so, I mean, if you think about it in those terms, you can, it should be easy enough for us to realize that this would be an incredibly distasteful thing to God, and the Word of God indicates that it is.
Exactly. And, you know, we would be upset if someone murmured or complained about one gift that we gave them, let alone all the blessings that God has given us, and we haven't deserved any of them, and yet He has given us these gifts. It is very distasteful, as you said. And it is a sin because we've been instructed to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that we are not to murmur, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And so the instruction is very clear. We're to do all things without murmuring. You know, Nick, as we look at the idea of murmuring, we've talked a little bit about it, but it shows that we're not thankful. It shows the condition of our heart, and it shows that our heart is not right with God. And one of the conditions that it shows is that we're not thankful if we're murmuring.
That's right. The Thessalonians are people that we see in the Scripture that as they began to come to Christ, they had to study the Scriptures, and they were used as an example of when they would not go to the scriptures and prove things by the scriptures, yet their faith was built up. And then later we were told in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so we're commanded by God to give thanks.
And so when we're murmuring, we're not giving thanks. Again, we're violating God's will there, because we're to be thankful people, giving God thanks. Preston, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 tells us the same.
Yeah. Well, Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ."
So again, the instruction is there to give thanks, and we cannot be giving thanks if we're murmuring, Dad. It's exactly the opposite. Those two are in contradiction with themselves.
Yeah, you know, this. I don't know if any of our listeners can make the tie-in. A year ago, on Thanksgiving Day, we talked about being thankful. Gratitude was our theme last Thanksgiving Day. And in fact, you were down in Florida with Nick and the other fellows last year at the same time. We talked about gratitude. Murmuring is just the other side of the coin of gratitude. If you're not grateful, you will murmur. If you're and so when we fail to have Thanksgiving in our hearts, when we fail to really appreciate all the good that God has done for us, when we murmur and complain, then we are sinning, as you said, sort of in a twofold way. We're sinning because we're directly violating the commands against murmuring, but we're also sinning because we're failing to be thankful.
And you know, ironically, Nick, when we murmur, it prevents us from enjoying and appreciating the blessings that we do enjoy. You know, we make ourselves miserable by murmuring and complaining, because we can't enjoy the blessings that God has showered upon us already.
That's correct. When it shows that we're lacking in contentment along that line, and the Bible teaches us very clearly that godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we have to learn to be with content with the things that we have. And also the suffering and problems that come upon Christians through persecution, other things that we read in the scriptures, to see how that Paul limits, it's a matter of establishing in the mind, it's the attitude toward those things that we have, and also putting them in perspective with the things that really is good for us in our suffering.
Exactly. You know, Preston, or Tyler, read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, that tells us about the instruction that Nick referenced there to have contentment.
It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content."
All right, so there's the instruction to be content. What do you think about murmuring? We'd like to hear from you. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'd love to take an email or a call from you. Send us your emails to questions@collegeview.com or give us a call at 931-381-4567. Let us know some areas where you think we're tempted to murmur. Let us know your thoughts about murmuring. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. The Virtual Bible Study will be live from Florida right after this break.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like He has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad you're a part of it tonight. We're coming to you live from Jennings, Florida, and we want to hear your comments wherever you are in the world. Let us know by sending us an email to questions@collegeview.com or give us a call at 931-381-4567 as we examine murmuring on the program tonight, we've been instructed to not murmur, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Tell us about murmuring. We need to be on guard against the sin of murmuring, and so we want to hear your thoughts. Tyler, you had a thought.
Not only do we sin against God when we murmur, but when other people see us murmuring, you know, those that are not Christians, they're looking to us. We should be an example to them. If they see us, you know, murmuring, complaining, you know, we're not content, you know, what example are we setting to them? Why would they want to be part of God's church when God was meant us to be thankful and be, you know, happy while we're around here and be shed light on others, but we can't do that when we're walking around murmuring.
Because we're no different than the world.
Exactly.
When we murmur, they murmur about the blessings they enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and we're exactly like them if we're murmuring.
Yeah, we're not a different light, and we're doing the same thing others doing. So we're not no different from, you know, the rest of the world. We should let our be different from.
Exactly. Appreciate that, Tyler. That's a good point. Well, we've talked about the fact that murmuring, not only is it condemned, it shows that we're not thankful, and not being unthankful is a sin as well. Shows that we're not content, being discontented with the blessings that we enjoy and the situation that we find ourselves in is a sin as well. And also, Nick, it shows that we lack faith and trust in God's promises, because God has very clearly promised us that He'll take care of us and He'll provide us what we need. And if we aren't content with that, then it shows we don't have the proper faith and trust in God's promises.
Yeah, well, it says we brought nothing into the world, and we have all these things that God has given us in the world to live. That's correct. We fail to show our trust in God. God has said He will provide for us. We study passages like Matthew, the 6th chapter, that says if we'll put the kingdom of God first, all the things that are essential we will have. We see the animals around us. They're taken care of. And so we certainly ought to trust God. We should be following Him.
Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That's God's promise, Nick. We've got to have faith in that promise. If we don't have faith in that promise, we'll begin to murmur about the situation we find ourselves in, and that will lead us into sin.
Yeah, we ought to think about some of the things that we're tempted to murmur in as we think about these commandments of God. You know, how many times do you see Christians that really admit that we are covetous? And of course, when we read in Colossians, we learn that covetousness is idolatry. And yet we can see the Israelites of old, and we see what happened to them as they wandered in the wilderness. We'll talk more about that in a moment, I'm sure, but certainly. When we see them, we maybe have a tendency to look down our nose at them and say, look at what they did, and yet we find ourselves in the same boat.
Well, you know, if a person had problems with drunkenness, we would tell them they need to be on guard against that sin and not allow themselves to go in areas where they might be tempted to drink. If a person had a problem with profanity, we'd say you need to be careful about the things that enter your mind so that you don't use profanity. The same is true of being discontented and murmuring. If we have that problem, I think we all can have that problem, we need to be on guard against it. No areas where we could be tempted to murmur and become discontented. And Dad, therefore, we need to work on our thoughts so that we can be on guard and be prepared to deal with the temptation of murmuring.
I think that's exactly right. Nick mentioned a minute ago the children of Israel and the example of their murmuring. And, of course, you've already read a couple times, Jacob, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where it urges us not to murmur as they did. But might encourage our listeners to spend just a minute looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the example of the Israelites. It's really kind of amazing. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, "With many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed as the destroyer." Now, here's what I'm thinking, Jacob. Look at that list of things that the Israelites did. It mentions them doing some really bad things, lusting, idolatry, fornication, testing the Lord. But in that same context, it mentions murmuring. You know, we'd be inclined to think that idolatry is really terrible. Fornication is awful. But right there in that same list of things that they did that displeased the Lord, murmuring. And it resulted in God's harsh judgment against them, and really ultimately it produced God's rejection of the nation of Israel. So, you know, murmuring is a serious thing.
Well, you know, we look at murmuring as, you know, it's a natural thing. You know, it's understandable if a person complains about, you know, a situation in their life. Maybe they complain about their car always breaking down, or they complain, you know, about their job, or they complain about their health. You know, well, that's just a normal thing. That's natural, nothing to be alarmed about. But yet, we don't think about it being as serious of a sin as you mentioned. Of course, all sin is serious with God, but God puts it in the same category as fornication and idolatry. And those terrible things that we would never want to be guilty of, we need to be on guard against murmuring as well, because we see it's in the same category as those sins.
That's exactly right. Let's look, again, encourage those who are listening to maybe take your Bible and turn to some of that example of the Israelites. You know, they started out their murmuring really pretty early on and continued it consistently. They started... You might look in Exodus chapter 5 at verse 21. When Moses came to deliver them from Pharaoh's bondage, they were initially pretty happy with the idea that they might be released from that slavery. But, of course, it didn't happen instantaneously. Pharaoh resisted, and he increased their burden. After Moses' first appeals to Pharaoh, instead of letting them go, he increased their burden. And, of course, they complained about it. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 21, they said to them, that is to Moses and Aaron, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." In other words, when they didn't immediately get what they wanted, they murmured. Well, we see that with people today as well. You know, we want what we want, and we want it right now. The Israelites set that example. That was part of their murmuring. Then, after a series of miracles were performed and plagues were sent upon the Egyptians, when they finally were allowed to leave, and as they traveled east, they came to the Red Sea, the first major obstacle that they had to deal with, and just immediately, again, after having already seen the miracles of God's deliverance, seeing the plagues that he'd brought upon the Egyptians, when they came to the Red Sea, they murmured as though this is the end. Chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 10, Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Again, just sort of an amazing turn of events, that having seen God's deliverance, the first problem that arose, they didn't have any trust that God could continue to take care of them.
I think that's another illustration of the fact that when we murmur, we don't have faith in God, and that's what the Israelites are demonstrating here. They don't have faith that God can deliver them. You know, they'd seen all these miracles and the plagues that God had brought upon the Egyptians. They had seen all that. They had been delivered. And what do? They begin to murmur because they don't have the faith that they need, Nick, to be pleasing to God.
Yeah, the first thing they do is they forget about that God has helped loot the Egyptians by giving them all the jewelry. You know, they loan them stuff, and here God is helping them go out with riches as they leave. Not only are they forgetting about they're leaving slavery behind, but they're concentrating, as Greg said earlier, they're concentrating to begin with that, you know, y'all are bringing hardships on us toward the very ones who God has sent to lead them out.
Exactly. And you know, they had had those great blessings from God, and yet they weren't happy. They murmured. The same is true for us. God's done wonderful things for us. We've seen wonderful blessings from God's hand. And yet what do? As soon as things look tough, we begin to murmur and complain about the situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
That history of the Israelites just continues on. They complained at Marah because the water was bitter. They complained shortly later when their food ran in short supply. Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3, the whole congregation of the Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth to this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They complained again in chapter 17 when there was no water. When they got near to Mount Sinai, they complained again, and God consumed some of them with fire for their complaining. They complained in Numbers chapter 11 because they had to eat manna all the time. That's a pretty amazing thing. God sent them food from heaven. All they had to do is go out and gather it, and it was ready for them to eat. And yet they complained about the fact that that's what they had to eat all the time. In fact, their complaining was so bad that Moses was provoked to complain about their complaining. One of the true memorable instances of their murmuring was when they sent the spies into the promised land in Numbers chapter 14. Sent in 12 spies, and we remember 10 of them came back with a report that said it's a good land, all right, but we'll never conquer it because the people of the land are strong and the cities are fortified. And, of course, the people grumbled and complained and murmured, and because of that, they were sent to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and a whole generation died off before God would let them enter the promised land. In Numbers 16, there was a well-known rebellion of Korah against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And 250-plus people were destroyed by God because of their murmuring against the authority of God's chosen leaders. They complained again. A new generation complained in Numbers 20 when they ran out of water again. And finally, they complained because they had to go around the nation of Edom in Numbers chapter 21. They couldn't make a direct route to the promised land that they wanted to make. Just an incredible long history of complaining by the children of Israel. You know, and one of the things that I think is always notable is that we can sit back and say, boy, you know, it sure seems like they should have done better than that. And when you see all that God had done for them, and when you consider all their blessings, it sure seems like they should have done better than that. I think the lesson we've got to bring home to ourselves is that one there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Learn from their examples. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Exactly right. You know, you talk about the Israelites and the blunders that they made and the murmuring that they did almost without end. Sadly, if they were to write a book about us and our lives, we probably would look the same way, and we would murmur and complain about the wonderful blessings that we enjoy. People might look at us and wonder, how in the world could you murmur and complain when you live in America and in this wonderful time of great blessing? How in the world could you murmur? What do you think about murmuring? We're going to take a break, and we'd like to hear from you during this break. Give us a call at 931-381-4567. Let us know what you think about murmuring, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College View Church of Christ.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. Well, regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The Virtual Bible Study. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you've taken time from your Thanksgiving evening to join us on the Virtual Bible Study, and we hope you're benefiting from the discussion. We'd like to hear from you. This program works better when you participate with your emails at questions@collegeview.com or by calling 931-381-4567. We're coming to you live from Jennings, Florida tonight with Nick Lall, Preston Jackson, and Tyler Dowling. And my father, Greg Gwynn, is in Columbia, Tennessee, and joins us on the phone. And we'd like to hear from you again on the virtual Bible study tonight as we talk about murmuring. And as we mentioned before the break, Dad, the children of Israel were notorious murmurers. And many in America today are notorious for their murmuring. And many Christians, unfortunately, if their life was written in a book, would be notorious murmurers as well as history would unfold.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we like to think that we've advanced and times are different, but we repeat so often the very history of the people we read about in the Old Testament. The accounts of the children of Israel and their wanderings in the wilderness and their grumblings and murmurings under Moses' leadership are thousands of years old, but we repeat the same thing, and our nature is not that much different than theirs. You know, with the children of Israel, we just sort of cataloged some of the instances where they grumbled and complained, and based upon that, I think there's some things that we could conclude about them and their murmuring that's also true about us and ours. First of all, murmuring is a habit. The Israelites murmured not just when they had trouble or difficulty; they complained all the time. They complained when any inconvenience came their way. Even when they had plenty, but they were dissatisfied with the plenty that they had, it's just a habit. It reflects a fault-finding nature. It's a focus on negative things rather than positive. It's pessimism. Murmuring is a habit like a pouting child that just everything is bad no matter what you do. They're never happy. So murmuring is a habit. We need to change that habit. Like all habits, it can be changed. Not only were the Israelites in the habit of murmuring, it also reflected their bad attitude. Again, as we said, they grumbled and murmured in times of want, but also in times of prosperity. Nothing satisfied them, and that's typical of all complainers. They moan about everything: jobs, family, the government, the church, everything. So murmurers today are just like the Israelites. So as we said, it's a habit, it's a bad attitude, it is an unjust thing. You know, we have no basis for murmuring or complaining. The Israelites didn't either. God had blessed them abundantly, but they murmured against God, even when he had been gracious and patient. They murmured against Moses when he was doing his job and doing it well. Their murmuring was undeserved. They didn't have any basis for it, but that's true of us as well. Murmuring is a contagious thing. Their murmuring was contagious. When some murmured, it led others to murmur. And the same thing happens today. And finally, we just say their murmuring was sinful. There's just no doubt about that. At different times in those episodes with Israel, God sent fire from heaven. The earth opened up and swallowed up some who were murmuring. Fiery serpents were sent among the people. An entire generation was lost in the wilderness. Murmuring is sinful. We see it in the children of Israel. We see it in ourselves. It robs us of happiness. It destroys our influence. It discourages other people. And it has the potential to cost us our eternal souls. Murmuring is a sin. We need to stop doing it.
You know, Nick, you had a passage as well in Psalm that shows us the fact that when we're murmuring, we're looking at ourselves. We're focusing on ourselves. We're not focusing on God and his instructions for us.
Yeah. In Psalms 106, verse 25, it says, "But they murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." One of the things that we do when we concentrate on murmuring is we fail to do what God has told us to do. Murmuring is one of those sins that I believe Ephesians 4 would say that as we put on the new man, that's one thing you would put off. But when you put off murmuring, then you would put something positive in its place. You would begin to be busy. Oftentimes we see people in the church today that They complain about the benches are too hard, the building's too cold, the building's too hot, the sermon's too long, the sermon's too short. And those people oftentimes are not even involved in, they're kind of like spectators. They're looking, and they're looking for the things that they want improved, and yet they don't get involved themselves to doing what God expects of them.
Exactly. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
Jake, we got an email from our friend Al out in Iowa. Al, we're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study on this Thanksgiving evening. Hoping you had a good day out there in Iowa. He mentions this. He says, murmurers and complainers are mentioned together in Jude 16. Let me read that. Jude 15 talks about God is going to execute judgment upon all, convince all the ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. And then verse 16 says, concerning those who's going to suffer God's judgment, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So some of those who are going to suffer God's judgment, murmurers and complainers, I think Al's exactly right. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, let me turn over to that. In Philippians chapter 2, 14, it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And Al says that shows that the man of God is manifested through murmuring and complaining. Man without God, the man without God is manifested through murmuring and complaining. He goes on to say, too many, including many Christians, do not comprehend that murmuring and complaining is in fact soul damning. Such people are ungodly, according to Jude, and God will be executing judgment against all that are ungodly. I think Al is exactly on the mark. Al, we appreciate your comments. Thanks for listening out there in Grinnell, Iowa tonight.
Appreciate those comments, Al, and very good comments. You know, we've got to think about this. As you mentioned, Dad, murmuring becomes sort of a habit, sort of a way of life, and we've got to bust ourselves out of that habit and to really get ourselves realizing what a terrible sin this is and get ourselves thinking in a more thankful and grateful way so that we can be on guard against murmuring. We've got to be on guard, as Al's email reminds us there.
Exactly right.
All right, the number to call, 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. What are some ways that we can prevent murmuring? We've talked about the fact that murmuring is a sin. It is a sin that will damn us to hell, and we've got to be on guard against that. So how can we prevent murmuring? How can we keep from murmuring as the children of Israel did? What are your thoughts? We'd love to hear from you. What are some ways that you can think of to help us to keep from murmuring so that we are not condemned by God? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Preston, what do you think about murmuring, and how can we prevent it and keep ourselves from murmuring as God has instructed us not to murmur?
Well, earlier we kind of looked at some things about how we're so blessed and how other people are not blessed, and I think that within itself is a good thing to look at. I know my mom helps a lot of older people, and she's able to look, man, they have, you know, problems walking around, or, you know, problems, you know, having whatever problems an older person may have. And she's like, well, how can I complain or murmur about a thing? Because, you know, I could be like that, and I couldn't get around as well as I do. Or, you know, or we could look at, you know, people who are poor, you know, they don't have a place to maybe stay warm all night and things like that. And a lot of times if we look at other people, their situations, and see how we have it better than they do, it'll humble us for one thing, and it'll kind of check us, you know, put us back in check where we should be and help us realize how to really be content like we ought to be. You know, I could have it worse than I really have it.
All right, exactly. You know, that's one thing you mentioned, the word contentment there. Nick, it's important for us as we talk about murmuring and complaining that we've got to learn contentment as we try and build up an arsenal against the sin of murmuring. One of those weapons against murmuring is to be content. We're instructed repeatedly in the New Testament to be content, and that's a skill that we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to be content.
Yeah, it's something that we have to be disciplined in. Even the Old Testament, we see in the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So we have to be disciplined in the teachings of God's Word. So it is a learned process.
Well, that's what Paul said. Paul said that he had learned how to be content. Excuse me, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Preston, if you would read that, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, we see Paul had learned how to be content. Even though he was in some difficult times and some terrible circumstances, Paul had learned how to be content.
Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. I in any and every circumstance have learned the secrets of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Now you think about Paul, Nick, and the circumstances that Paul went through, and he lists the terrible things that he had been through. He had learned to be content in those terrible circumstances. That's an incredible skill that Paul had learned, and that's something we need to learn as well.
That's correct. He was the persecutor to begin with, and then he became the persecuted. And as we read in 2 Corinthians 11, we see how many times he was shipwrecked, beaten with rods, beaten with whips, spent time in prison. And then we think about here's a man that is trying to tell us that we need to, whatever state we're in, to be content. He understood that by experience, and it's a learned thing. He was disciplined.
You think about Paul's situation there where he said he could be content. You know, if we get a cold today, the world's coming to an end, right? If we get a bad sore throat, maybe we have a rough night, can't sleep because of a cold. Boy, you talk about something that's difficult. We can't hardly deal with that anymore, right?
That's
Paul
right.
Could be shipwrecked in prison, and he could still be content. Now, that's a skill that we need to learn.
Exactly right. Paul's an amazing example of a lot of things, but one of them is his contented nature. He'd given up so much in order to serve the Lord, and yet he never complained. It's obvious that he never regretted it, that he saw that it was the right thing and the worthy thing and that what he got in turn for the sacrifices he made was far outweighed it. And so he's a great example for us in lots of ways, but in this that we're talking about tonight in particular.
We've got to learn, whatever state we're in, Nick, to be content.
Yeah, I think that has to do with the attitude that Paul had. You know, he compares the suffering that he went through, and he calls it in 2 Corinthians 4:16. You know, he says it's light, and then on the other hand, but what is he comparing it to? He's comparing it to what heaven was going to be, the eternal weight of glory that was going to be held in reward for him or anyone else who will serve God and learn to be a slave of Christ.
What you're telling us there is Paul had his perspective and his priorities in the right place. Let's talk about that a little bit when we get back from the break. Talk about how that will help us keep our murmuring and complaining in check as we look at our priorities and our focus in this life. What do you think about murmuring? How can we prevent it? What are some things that you can do to keep yourselves from murmuring? Let us know on the virtual Bible study tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567. Or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. The virtual Bible study will continue right after this short break.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Share your comment with the world. Call in now and be a part of the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study. We're glad that you joined us. I want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ. We meet on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. You're welcome at any of these services. We encourage you to come and find out what the College View Church of Christ is all about. Find out more about the College View Church of Christ at our website, collegeview.com, or you can call us or email us with any questions you may have. As we talk about murmuring on the program tonight, we want to hear from you, 931-381-4567, or email us to questions@collegeview.com. Let us know how we can prevent murmuring. I believe we have some emails along that line.
Jay, we got an email from Ben. Ben's also out in Iowa. Ben, we're glad you're listening to us tonight on the virtual Bible study. Hope you had a great day. He simply asked a question. In Exodus 16, verse 12, does it seem that murmuring helped? That's an interesting observation. In Exodus 16, verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. Of course, that was the manna that they gathered and ate. So they murmured about something to eat, and God sent them quails and manna to eat. So Ben's observation is kind of interesting. He heard their murmuring and responded with more blessings. Now, I think probably that doesn't say anything good about the Israelites as much as it says something wonderful about God, that God is patient, long-suffering, that he blesses us even when we're not worthy, and even when we're not grateful we receive from his hand. So I think that does show the bounty and the abundance of God. But what's interesting, in conjunction with that, in other words, they murmured, and God responded with sending them some additional blessings. Later, though, they murmured some more. We mentioned this a little while ago. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 and 6, they complained about the manna. God was giving them free bread to eat and quails to eat, but they complained in Numbers 11, verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. So they complained about the free food God was sending them. He sent another abundance of quail later in the chapter. It says that there went forth, this Numbers 11, verse 31, there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as there were a day's journey on this side, as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were two cubits high upon the face of the earth. So there were quails everywhere. But notice the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. So Ben's observation, when they murmured, God sent blessings, but he didn't keep blessing them as they continued to murmur. When they murmured later because they were unhappy with the continuance of the manna, he finally punished them for that. So I think we see in that God's nature. God's long-suffering. But there's finally an end to his patience, and he will punish if we continue to murmur.
I think it's an excellent observation. You know, there's a parallel to us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, did our sinning somehow, is that somehow good that we sinned so that Christ could die for us? Not at all. That's the nature of God. God blesses us when we don't deserve it. The Israelites didn't deserve it or didn't earn it by murmuring. Yet God saw their murmuring and had mercy on them.
Good observation, Ben. We appreciate your email. I got another email from Stan. Stan says, it seems the more blessings that people have, the more they are tempted to murmur. Blessed people should never murmur. If you took everything away that a Christian has, they should not murmur, because we have a God that loves us and a Savior who loves us and died on the cross for our sins, and we have all of God's promises. I can't remember what the scripture is, but it says that God will not allow his children to go without. So Stan says if we took away all our physical blessings, basically he's saying, you know, we should still be grateful for the abundance of spiritual blessings we have in Christ. I think he's exactly right.
Yeah, there's a lot of passages that Stan may have reference to. One of them is Psalm 37, verse 25. David says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God's promised us, Dad, that we'll have what we need in order to be pleasing to him.
Exactly right. Thanks, Stan, for listening to the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
All right. Thank you for those emails. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Stan. And we're glad to hear your thoughts tonight. You know, one of the things that we talked about before the break was keeping our perspective and our priorities in the right place. And Tyler, as we think about that, we understand that if we have the right focus in our lives, if we have a spiritual focus in our lives, we're concerned about spiritual things, not physical things. It'll help us immensely to be what God would have us to be.
Exactly. Let's start in Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor dust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we take in these things that are just said here, our priorities need to be with God. If we look at Paul's example, you know, he didn't care if he was shipwrecked, if he was beaten with rods. He didn't care about any of that. His goal was in heaven, and we need to remember those things. Our treasure need to be up there. You know, we think of those. One of the biggest examples now is those that have millions of dollars, and yet they still don't seem to have enough. You know, we see all the times of people, you know, they'll go, you know, they want to steal money. They'll find some way to get past stuff. They'll steal money, and they just keep getting more and more. They're never happy. And our pleasures are... contentment should not be on, you know, these treasures. You know, physical blessings is not a wrong thing, but when we put that ahead of, you know, God being our ultimate goal, you know, the glory of God is more blessing than anything else that we could have on this earth. And when we put things on this earth above treasure in heaven, then that's almost idolatry, and we need to, or that actually is idolatry, and we need to, you know, not worry about murmuring about this earth, but look to our treasures that are left up in heaven.
Exactly, Tyler. Good points there. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Nick, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, tells us if we've got a physical perspective and we're looking on physical things, we're never going to be satisfied. We've got to have that spiritual perspective where our primary interest is those things that are spiritual if we're going to be pleasing and contented here in this life. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance with increase, this also is vanity. We see here, if we want silver and gold, we want more and more wealth, we're never going to be happy because there always will be more out there to get. But if we'll focus on God and being pleasing to him, we can have true contentment and satisfaction in this life.
That's right. There's the wisest man that ever lived, and he tried it all, and he says if you leave God out, you won't be happy.
All right. That's exactly right. Dad, we've got to have our priorities in the right place in order to prevent the murmuring that God has forbidden us to do.
I think that's for sure. You know, I think this was mentioned earlier in the program, but one of the root causes of murmuring is when I think that I haven't got what I deserve. You know, it's a very self-centered, selfish motivation, and so I complain when I don't think that I got what I rightly deserve. But if our priority is right and we remember that spiritual things are the most important, then I've gotten way more than I deserve with the spiritual blessings that God has made available in Christ Jesus. I wasn't worthy at all of the sacrificial death of Jesus to atone for my sinfulness. I didn't deserve, I mean, I absolutely didn't deserve that. I was totally unworthy of that. I've gotten way more than I deserve. In regards to what God has done through me, for me, through his son, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, murmuring is a sign of wrong priorities. It's the murmurer focuses on the here and now, where we ought to be focusing on the hereafter.
Exactly. And the murmurer, as we've said, fails to have trust in God's promises, fails to have the proper faith in God. That was evident in the lives of the Israelites, and it's evident in us today as well. Preston, we've already noted Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, but read that again for us to help us remind ourselves of the fact that we need to be content with the things that we have in this life and have our trust in God.
Yeah, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me?"
There you go. That's our instruction. Dad, we've got to be faithful to God and have faith and confidence in him and his promises to us. He'll be faithful. We need to have confidence in that. That will help us to be content. It'll help us to prevent murmuring.
I think so, and this goes to that email that we received just a little while ago from Stan down in Montgomery, Alabama, where he said, you know, if you took away every spiritual, every physical blessing, we still have the abundant, take away every physical blessing, we still have the abundant spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, and the Lord has promised those things will never be taken from us.
Exactly right. Nick, it's clear that murmuring is a sin. Murmuring is distasteful and unpleasing to God. And we've got to do whatever it takes to make sure that we don't murmur. We need to think about that in our lives as we go about our lives. Think about areas where we're tempted to murmur. And we need to catch ourselves when we're tempted to murmur and make sure that instead of murmuring, that we're thankful to God and that we consider all the wonderful blessings he's given us.
Yeah, as we've said, thankfulness will only come when we think. And God has given us all things that pertain to this life and godliness. So if we'll think about what God has given us in this life, which is a temporary thing, the more important things are those things that are in heaven. And that's how we see the Apostle Paul and other faithful apostles and Christians being able to suffer and go through what they went through persecution, and yet have a positive attitude to worship God through that, not forsake him, because they knew he would not forsake them.
Exactly right. They had their priorities in the right place. They were focused on the right things. And so they were able to do what they needed to do, and they were able to avoid murmuring. Well, with all the blessings that we enjoy from God, we should always be thankful. There's no room for murmuring in the life of a Christian. We need to make sure that we get murmuring out of our lives. Tyler, thank you for joining us tonight and for being a part of the virtual Bible study.
No, I enjoyed it just as much as I did last time.
All right, and Preston, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And Nick, thank you for letting us take over your office here tonight. We made a big mess, but I'll clean it up, I promise.
Well, we appreciate the good work that y'all are doing through this program and all those who are listening, and we always enjoy listening in and participating.
Well, thank you for participating tonight. Dad, thanks for being on the phones up there in Columbia.
All right. Hey to Nick and all you guys down there in Florida. Have a good time, and look forward to getting you back home soon, and look forward to another Bible study next Thursday night. Hope all of our listeners will make it a regular appointment to be with us for the Thursday night virtual Bible study.
That's right. Thank you for joining us on your Thanksgiving night tonight, and we hope that the time that we spent in consideration of God's Word has been helpful to you. I know it's been helpful to me. Help to remind us all to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us, to keep on guard against the terrible sin of murmuring and complaining against God. We hope you'll be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.